This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
Well, I wasn't nosy. I've never been a nosy person. I really haven't, you know.
But there's also a part of me that needs to be in the thick of things.
All of a sudden, I looked up, and there was this huge spider on the wall. I mean, really big spider.
Yes, it was completely unplanned, unexpected.
So amidst all the beautiful experiences that I was having, there were also a lot of experiences where I felt alone.
I sat there and was surprised to see that they were building a fire, and they were cooking a sheep's head.
I never have been nosy. I'm not. I'm not judging anybody that wants to be.
Finally, I thought, now I'm going to really meet sophisticated people.
I'm not judging anybody that wants to be. You can learn a lot of things by being nosy. You really can. That's how a lot of people learn things, you know.
From our studio in Sebastopol, California, where we are nosing and working and delving to discover the truth about this planet, this is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller. Hitchhiking is about journeys. And not that we recommend actual hitchhiking as a means of health and fitness, but just wanting to remind that the journeys worth taking usually involve risk.
And coming back not quite the same, or not coming back. How like life? talk about taking a risk. You have to talk to strangers, cross the street alone, let go of mommy's hand, learn a foreign language, discover everybody is speaking a foreign language.
So we have two stories today, and what they have in common is absolutely nothing.
Maybe it's do you accept the risk or not?
First story. Okay. There are lots of stories in every human being, and when you're interviewing, you start to try to elicit the story you want to hear, the story you sort of want them to tell. But our visit with Polly was different. We pretty much just listened.
That's her daughter in the background, and sometimes us. It was a lively morning. Polly Moore was born in Tutwiler, Mississippi, 85 years ago. She fell in love with a boy her parents didn't like, eloped, came to California, worked, lived in an RV on the road for 11 years when her husband's health ended his regular work, and she now lives in a tiny, neat cottage among a set of buildings that house her daughter's marriage partners, extended family, and a flock of chickens. A long way from Mississippi.
It took us about 5 or 6 days to get out here. Anyway, we didn't have any money hardly to rent an apartment with because we didn't have much left. But the lady that let us move in, she had Pomeranians and with the agreement that I had, she had 100. They were international show dogs. Kennel, it was a huge kennel. But anyway, so he came in one night. He was so elated. And he said, honey, guess what? We were married, I don't know how many years, and he always called me honey. But he said, Gladys and PJ are going to leave us this kennel. Well, honey, have you ever tried to clean up after 100? And so I was on 100 Pomeranians every morning, have to go out and clean up the papers. You know, clean the papers up and feed them, see if they got fed. So he was so elated over us getting that kennel to be going to be putting our name, you know, the money. And I said, sure, I hate to tell you this, but I'm not going to spend the rest of my life taking care of a bunch of 100 Pomeranians are beautiful. We had three.
With a capital T.
I said, I remember when Lindbergh went across the, I was about 11 years old. I remember when Lindbergh flew across the ocean. That was the first flight that had ever been a plane across the ocean. See, he's shaking his head. You're not that old, but you've heard of it,
hadn't you?
And he's sweet. And finally, he made it over there. And I mean, you never heard such joy, excitement. Lindbergh made that little bitty plane. Well, about a year later, I wasn't too happy over that. Well, I'm still in that little town of Tutwiler a year later. Now, these private pilots would go around and with tours. You know, for $25 for 15 minutes, you could ride in Lindbergh, you know, one like a copy of Lindbergh. And Papa, I know they light on our football field. And we were just looking with a crowd, my brother and I, and the rest of my family. And so Papa told my brother, you know, brother Dorsey was always, and he said, crawl in. We were scared. We'd never been in a Well, I never even seen a plane, you know what I mean? And I'll never forget, this pilot put us inside, and he strapped us in. We were huddling real close to each other. Then he put a helmet on us, because it had to be an open. And we took off. When that plane lifted off, that little plane lifted off, you talking about, that's the first time Doris and I were ever, we kind of, but you did what your parents told you to do in those days. You know? So I remember when the people were waiting their turns, you know, to get their ride for $25 for 15 minutes. But I remember when it finally went down and the pilot came, took that helmet off, we leaped. We leaped as high as a plane to get out. But
could you dare to look down?
Did you dare to look down?
Oh, no. We were looking at each other scared to death. I like you. That was a good question. Very good. I won't go into that, but he lived there, and they'd have those little dances in that little small town. And
he was a minister's son.
Huh?
He was a minister's son.
Yes. His father was pretty stern, though, really stern, you know. But when he used to come down the steps at the school, running down, I'd watch for him. Boy, I was so in love with him. And he was voted the most charming guy in school, you know, in the high school. But I'd watch him coming up the stairs, and he'd come in, and we'd be in the study all like, oh. But I bet you did the same. You do. I was so in love with him. So when we went to the dance, this boy, young boy, asked me. He begged me. He said, oh, come on, we need you. Well, if I'm needed somewhere, I'm there. If you want me, need me. I mean, I've always, that's my nature. Boy, I leaped up and got dressed and changed to an evening gown. But anyway, when I got there, well, my husband was dancing with everybody. And I was dancing backwards with him. About that time, he came over and asked me for a dance. Oh, God, I melted. I never did melt out of his arms again. So he took me home after the dance. That's how it got started. But my mom was, there was another young darling, Titan. He'd asked me to marry him several times. But I liked him as
friend.
Yes, not love. Wasn't like my husband's love. And he used to find out, he'd say, Polly, I asked your mama, your mother, if you could go with me to this picture show tonight. And she said you could, which she was thrilled to, because he was just, I don't know. He was
a good boy. And my dad was a bad boy.
I was hoping my husband James H. Moore would call me and ask me to take me to the picture show. But he was so busy with the other girls, I didn't know how to chase. Did you chase him?
We just chased each other right
into each other's arms. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. I would believe that, just seeing y'all, really. But anyway, finally, I thought, this is the last time I'm going with him, because how is James going to ever ask me to go with him if I'm always out with Titan? And in the meanwhile, our house burned up. It was a bunch of things happened after that. Anyway, we moved to a hotel there, and I heard my mama tell the owner of the hotel, well, I'm going to have to do something, because my daughter's getting too interested in this James Moore, and I don't want her marrying him. But anyway, I heard it. She said, so we're going over to visit my other sister, which is about 60 miles away, to get me out of the town, you know, down there. And so I told James, he worked at a service station over there, Pan Am Service, they don't still have a, but I ran by there right fast while we was eating. She was having her breakfast at this restaurant, and I told her, I said, Mom, I'll be right back. And she said, well, I knew all the time where I was going. And so I ran by, and he was so busy, and I called him over. I told him, Mom's making me leave town, honey. He knew she didn't like him. You know, you have a way of knowing that. And I said, so we're going away. And so he said, well, that gives us tonight. We can run away and get married. But I'm glad I did look sitting over there. If she wouldn't have been the far away, you know.
How old were you when you got married to Dad?
Yeah, that's another one. I'm 85 now. Don't ask me that.
Did you go to college after you were married to Dad?
Oh, Lord, no. I dropped out because I had that appendicitis. Yeah.
Why'd you come to California?
The service station. My husband had gone into his own business. But he was always, I'm the same way. You can, She won't let me have any money because I give my money all away. That's the fun. When I used to get my Social Security check in UCI, I'd have more fun because I just think, well, I love this. Well, it's fun. You know, a lot of people, it's just fun. All age kids, she said, all ages, little children, if you don't have them but $5 or $10 bill. Yeah, oh, yeah, anyway, so we had to leave there because the people, like I said, they had born to fight. I mean, they really meant business because people get mad, you know, if you start pushing them. But it was all right.
Because they wouldn't pay their bills.
No, they didn't. He couldn't buy gas at the thing, couldn't get the gas to fill his tanks up with. So anyway, he had to close it up. They had a little bayou that ran right behind that service station. And I'll never forget when he said, honey, come on, let's go back and tear all these bills out. So we went back behind that little bayou. My husband, he was really crying down in that water was going that thing in the...
Tearing up the bills and throwing them in the water.
Yeah, he just tore those bales. I mean, it was... But anyway, we sat there and we tore that together by that little bayou and tore it in little chips. And he said, well, we leave Mississippi now for that. That was when we headed out, so... When I first moved to California, well, different ones, they said, you're a Southerner. I said, yeah, I'm a Southerner. They said, well, I don't want a Southerner living next door to me. Well, man, I just moved here, and I thought, and her father, I couldn't tell him because he gets mad. He'd have gotten mad. But I could understand people feeling that way about accents. I really can. But it's really taught me a lesson. You know, we can make everything. He was at work. When I went in there, I was 54 hours in labor. I had a big bow in my hair when I went into the nurses. Then when I went down 54 hours later with her, the doctors all, they kept asking, said, why didn't she scream out? She's having so much pain, you know. They said that was the longest they'd ever had. It's on her birth certificate in 54 hours, hard labor, toxemic poisoning. And I was looking at the clock. It's interesting how you're not aware that your time is so valuable. You know what I mean? Then I think, now, all these years later, she's 53 years old. But, I mean, I remember that so well, looking at the clock. They gave me some serum. Like, I've got so many scars. And I wrote on my last driver's license down at the thing, I said, they said, would you like to be a donor? And I said, I'd like to be a donor, you know, I don't have anything to give. But anyway, they took me in there, and I was looking at the clock, and they told me, they said, well, you're going to have your baby just any time now, Polly. And about that time, and then I heard that little, wah! And it's 5 minutes after 10. Isn't that something? How I was looking right at the clock. And so Dr. Plain, it was so cute the first day. We lived in an RV for 11 years after he worked at Long Beach Oil Development for 18 years. And then his health broke. He had a lung removed, and he had to retire. But we traveled around for 11 years to New Orleans. That's where my sister and family lived. And I worked in New Orleans at the $70 a month. The Roosevelt's was the main hotel in New Orleans at that time. And that's the first time I'd ever gotten an orchid in my life. I'd heard of them, I'd read about them, I'd seen pictures of them. And one of the dignitaries, this is not vanity either. I mean, it just shows you what kindness gets through to you. And when they were getting ready to leave, this darling wife said, Polly, I've got you something I want to give to you. She said, don't look at it till we leave. My very first orchid that I'd heard of them in books and I'd seen them. But my very, when he asked me to marry him, that was the first thing he asked me. He said, I want to tell you this. I want you for my second love, but I've got a first love. And I thought, I wanted to be your first. Of course, naturally, I don't care what people have three or four loves. You know what I mean? It's people's own. We each unique. That's the way I feel about life. I don't judge anybody. I didn't come here to judge anybody. And you know what I mean? It's that if people won't do that, that's their pleasure. So anyway, he said, don't look so down. You know about my first love? I said, who is she? He said, she ain't a she. She's fishing. I fished since I was 12 years old. And I said, oh, fishing? Oh, yes, I'm married. I said, I used to be a nurse. I went into nursing. I love nursing. And but when I went on duty, this little darling, she was all rolled up in there like that, and she'd look up at you, so, are you coming to hurt me or something? But she was just all rolled up, and that's about my first week on duty. And I looked at her, and I just smiled, gave her a little smile. And I looked up, and I said, "Can I call you Kitten?" Ever since then, for two or three, I tell you, weeks later, I'd go by, and I'd go early enough to go by and see her. Pretty soon, she started getting her head tall, really lifting it out more, like coming out of my mother's womb again. It's awesome how kindness works, really. But anyway, that little darling, pretty soon, she's sitting up so straight. It's thrilling. It's a beautiful thing. I'd be a nurse all over again. I really would be. And I love y'all. Y'all are beautiful. And I have children that send me letters. I haven't seen them in 4 or 5 years. I love children. It's the sweetness of a child. They're sincere, you know, they say what they mean. So I love all ages, and I love every breath that I've ever lived. I love the breath that I'm living right now. And you better close this off before I start crying. I don't want to wear it. Well, there's my reason right there. I've lived 85 years. I've got so much wrong with me that it's funny. A lot of the young boys and the high school students and the girls, 8 and 9, they'd come at once, and they'd run by there a few minutes to see me, and they'd be waiting at the door as they'd go out, and I'd know what they were going to say. They'd hug me, and they'd say, "Polly, you're feeble and you wobble. When you walk, you have to walk with a cane. How can you be so full of joy? We come over here to get some of your joys." Well, just to ask you mainly, tell us, how can you have joy? And my answer was the same as I say right today, because I know where I've come from and what I've come through. Well, if there's any other place I'd rather be than California, it'd be heaven. Be heaven.
One more minute, Elizabeth.
But yep.
Just 1 second. No, I want to take their picture. Do you? While you're being interviewed. Okay.
You take the back of me
and everything.
I want Comrade to come.
He's getting
I want to touch Comrade.
There we go. Yep.
Okay.
Oh,
here we go.
Yep. So precious.
All right. 1, 2, 3. There you go. Okay.
In Pen Grove, California, we were talking with Polly Moore and her daughter, Morning Glory. This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
Well, our next story, we said, has nothing at all to do with the first. But actually, I guess we had such a good time with Polly that we just needed something else in the show that we could listen to and get back to feeling miserable again. So the next piece, I think we depend too much on our government to take on the burden of filling us all with mortal terror. They do their best, but I don't think we should be so dependent on big government. You know, it's really up to each one of us to come together as a community to create the kind of paranoid schizophrenia that makes a nation strong.
So from time to time, we check in with Walt and Patty.
Walt and Patty.
To see how the country feels about itself. You might remember that famous commercial of a concerned couple who saved us from the threat of health care.
I was worried.
Well, Walt and Patty live in the same neighborhood.
Now, people have told us that they seem to be a bit exaggerated. But actually, I have to say that Walt and Patty subscribe to public radio. They've never listened to this show because it seems just a little bit too far out, but they listen to This American Life and all that. They're quite moderate and middle of the road in politics and cuisine. Patty actually has ordered items from Fredericks of Hollywood, but of course she doesn't actually wear them. And they get along very well with their neighbors.
Up until now, this is the problem with the Johnsons.
Oh, that was a wonderful casserole. What was in that?
Oh, leftovers, bunch of stuff.
Oh, Patty, baby, it was great. Sometimes I just realize how much there is to be thankful for. It's just amazing.
Oh, it is. Walt, house, good jobs, great kids.
And each other.
We've got our health. I mean, that in itself.
Spiritual values.
And our neighbors, they're our friends. It's the friendliest. What?
Oh, I was just thinking.
Oh, yeah, right. You need to take out the garbage.
No, that's not. Hey, never mind. Let's not get heavy. Let's just enjoy stuff.
Yeah. Pie for dessert. Apple pie?
That's great.
Oh. No, come on. What? Something's on your mind.
No big deal.
Hon, why don't you just come on out with it and whatever, and then we'll enjoy our apple pie?
Well, it's just...
It's no big deal.
Okay. All right. So, We might have to kill the Johnsons.
What?
Well, there's just a number of things.
In the sense of...
Things that I've noticed, and I haven't really said anything, because they're our friends, I mean, but it just starts adding up, and I think, well, let's not open a can of worms, and we're busy, the lawn and the roof and the refinancing, but there's never a convenient time.
Well, you know, it's the strangest thing. I thought that what I heard you say was, we better kill the Johnsons.
Before it's too late. Could you give me a refill? Oh, thanks. Look, you know, I know this is pretty abrupt. I mean, when they just had us over to dinner on Sunday, but, you know, I mean, that was kind of the capper. I mean, Dick has become such a gun nut.
When he showed you his antique pistols, yeah. Weren't they a Christmas present?
Who the hell gives somebody a set of single-shot dueling pistols? He says, for the historical value. Oh, come on.
Oh, hon, now look, you've got a .45, a shotgun, a 9mm, an automatic assault rifle.
For defense? I mean, there are crazy people out there. I mean, you heard him, his little joke.
It was a joke.
In the event of a neighborly disagreement, Walt. He was smiling when he said it.
Well, it was a joke, and we all laughed.
Sure, to gain time. What about the fence?
Their privacy fence?
Their privacy fence.
They asked us about it before they put it up, and you said, sure, good fences make good neighbors.
It blots out their whole backyard.
Well, that's what privacy is.
Well, what are they doing back there?
I don't know. Sunbathing?
Sunbathing. Why does it have to be totally opaque?
So you can't see them sunbathing. Walt, is this a joke?
That couple from Portland. They thought it was a joke. They woke up dead.
Hun.
Did you see their kids? Little kids, 4 and 6, out on the porch over there playing with G.I. Joe and these action figures.
Oh, I gave Sally those when we cleared out the kids' old toy box. Those were ours.
Yeah, but we're responsible people. We teach our kids right from wrong. We don't build privacy fences and arm ourselves to the teeth and lay plots to kill people, except if we're provoked.
There's no way I can believe
that. What about your rosebush, Patty?
Well, Sally just...
Just backed right over that sucker. Yeah, I know, it was a mistake, but that's what they do. See how far they can go, how much they can get away with. It's exactly what Hitler did.
Oh, Walt, no. They're our friends. They're really sweet people. They're a little younger than we are, and their kids are kind of noisy, and Sally dresses kind of funny sometimes, but no, this is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Well, why would they want to hurt us?
Envy.
Envy? Of what? Our credit card bills?
Our whole way of life. Just the fact that we're... superior. I mean, some people just can't stand that. You know, people with an inferiority complex just can't stand the fact that they're inferior. Makes them fanatic.
Fanatic?
Well, vegetarian. We're over to dinner. They cook us this little meat dish and kind of chuckle about how at least they don't have steroids and carcinogens and joke about your big fat butt or your nice round figure, as Sally put it. But she's talking about your big fat butt. You know damn well she is. And these people, you know, these animal rights activists and eco-terrorists, they're fanatics. They'll kill you just as soon as they look at you. And Sally gives me this little wink.
Wink?
Yeah, wink. I call it a wink. Wink. Definite wink.
Wink. Well, this affects the whole neighborhood. We should talk to the Murrays and the Blairs.
And you know what they're going to say. Call the police. And the police, they'll just say we're paranoid and we'd really like that property as investment income. And we have to wait till they come roaring in here with chainsaws and there's blood all over the bathtub and we scream out the children's names, Heather, Josh, and there's this terrible silence.
So, if we did something, wouldn't that be, like, illegal?
Self-defense. Preemptive. It's like a vaccination.
For the sake of the children.
And the investment income, college education, that stuff.
Well, so, my God, how do people do these things? Just go and do it?
Well, we have to consider the options. I mean, Patty, this is not something that is making me happy about it.
Well, God knows we've got the firepower. How about just boom?
Look, we're civilized. We're not like those butchers we're living next door to. I mean, we don't want a mess.
So...
How about our kids?
Our kids?
Heather and Josh. Heather babysits over there. Josh could come over, like to keep his sister company. It wouldn't look suspicious. Dick and Sally come home. Bing, bing.
Our kids go bing, bing?
Well, lots of people's kids go bing, bing. Look, it's for their college education as well as for their lifestyle. I am taking full responsibility for this so they can do just a little bit of the grunt work. It'll be very surgical.
Bing, bing. 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 Bing, 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 bing.
Hey, how about that apple pie? We were listening to The Johnsons, written by us. The opinions expressed on this show are entirely those of the characters.
So, that's our illusions and realities for this week. Hitchhiking Off the Map is produced by The Independent Eye with funding from the National Endowment for the Arts. Visit our website to order CDs from the show. Our three-part nativity special is available there, and we're getting wonderful response. Or listen to our program archive or send us a story. All at www.independenteye.org.
Last week we heard from a lovely man who ran for president in 1996 and again in 2000, but he didn't campaign very hard this time because he had a vision from an early age that he is president already. We wish him well.
Next up, theater on a bus. Take a ride with Popcorn Anti-Theater.
And a trip to the ocean to free a shoplifted lobster.
This is Elizabeth Fuller.
And Conrad Bishop. Peace and joy.
So life is a beautiful, it's just beautiful. I love every year that I've ever lived. And each year really does, it just gets, if I had something I'd gone, left out of here before I turned 85, I would have never gotten to meet y'all. And I wouldn't have gotten to meet Conrad. Say something happened to me since the last time you were here. I wouldn't have, now would I, Conrad? See, I'd have been gone. But anyway, so it's beautiful. I'm about to shut this off, or people will be shutting y'all off.